Church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here at Royal Oak First. I just want to welcome all of you here to worship with us this morning. As we like to say around here, we are glad you are here. There's lots of places you could be this morning, and you got here, and for that we are grateful. And if just one of you wasn't with us this morning, we'd miss you. So thank you for making your way here today. Another thing we'd like to remind you is that God loves you. There's not a thing you can do about that. We hope by the time you leave here today, through the songs we sing and the prayers we pray and the communion that we share together, that you will know that and leave here with that assurance with you. So welcome to worship this morning. We are glad you're here. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. And with that, I just simply invite you to stand and let us join together in song and worship this morning. Welcome. We are glad you're here.
Okay, it's time to stand here.
Thank you.
If everyone does about 15 sandwiches, we'll be able to knock that off. So if you could stick around and help do that, that would be wonderful. It's for all ages. We'll have stations so that even Charlotte there can make a sandwich or two with her mama. It'll be all good. And we'll have hair nets and the kind of gloves that you can use to do that. Not latex, but other kinds of gloves that'll help make that happen. So come and join us next week. That's all I'm trying to say. With that, let's have the kids come on up and spend some time with Myra.
Jesus loves me. Do that with me. Jesus loves me. Now, as we sing this with our hands, there's a part for you. You have to do your part. Your part is, oh, yes, he does. Would you say that with me? Oh, yes, he does. So every time you say Jesus loves me, you say, oh, yes, he does. There's one more part. We know that Jesus loves us. For the Bible, and the Bible is like this, it's Jesus, and then it's the book. The Bible is Jesus, do that, Jesus, can you do that? Jesus, and then the book. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. Okay, you ready? Stand up, because we're singing our song. But not with our voices, with our hands. You've got your part? You guys ready? Got your part? Okay, here we go. Jesus loves me.
Yes, he does.
Jesus loves me.
Oh, yes, he does.
Jesus loves me.
take time to find our center, rooting ourselves in the source of all. In an attitude of trust, we pray, saying, Constant God, you walk with me through the valleys and hills of life.
Help us to notice your presence and to take pleasure in your company. Teach us to lean on you when we are tired and weak. We don't always remember to trust that you are always there. Our gaze is fixed on the step ahead and not on the harbors you're dreaming with us. Work in us so that we might be an example to all the world.
Creating and sustaining God, we offer you our deepest yearnings to you in silence. In God's grace, we are reconciled. May this renewal carry us in the week ahead.
Thanks be to God.
Let us be one in the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God, we return these gifts and these givers back to you. And we ask that you add your grace to them and then send them forth out into the world to do your work, to proclaim good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to feed the hungry, to release the captives, to set aside time to proclaim that this is indeed the time, the year of your coming, the year of your favor. We ask this all in your name, Lord Jesus.
Give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come, pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have scattered you, and I will bring you home after the long exile, declares the Lord. The word of God, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Myra Moreland. It's great to be with you this morning. You know, about 10 years ago, I went on a mission trip with my church to Ghana in Africa. And I stepped off the bus at the King Jesus Orphanage wearing this ridiculously tacky hat and lathered in sunscreen. I was so afraid that the African sun would just fry this lily white body. But minutes after I got off the bus, I met a young girl. And before I even knew what happened, I gave her my hat and I gave her my heart. This is Alima. There she is. Yeah, she's the one in the hat. That's her wearing the hat. Every day that we came to the orphanage, I got to know her and love her. I admired her kindness, her spirit, but mostly I loved that she found joy in every moment. And I have to tell you, she made a permanent place in my heart the day she took my hand and she led me into that dusty, dilapidated old courtyard there at the orphanage. And from the bottom of her heart, she sang, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art." And she meant it. She meant it. Now, I came back home, and for the next year, she and I traded letters. And I would send a box of gifts over every time someone was going from Detroit to Ghana. You'd be surprised how often that is, actually. There's a great connection between this area and Ghana. But after a year, I got a letter from her that rocked my world. It started like most of the letters, "Thank you for the gifts." Then she told me about what was going on in her life. But then at the bottom of the letter, she said, "You are the closest thing I have ever known to a mother." The closest thing I've ever known to a mother. I kept reading that over and over. I can't tell you how many times I read the line in that letter. Now, I know enough about God to know that a formal legal adoption is almost impossible. That's not going to happen. But I couldn't let it go. Because now, not only is Lima pulling at my heart, God is nudging my heart, and I pray, okay, what? How? What do you want me to do? And I wrestled with this for a couple of days, and then one day it just was really clear to me. And I stood up, and I just, in my house by myself, and I just declared her to be my daughter. And I made a promise to God and a promise to her that I would be a mother to her. I would love her and care for her and support her in every way that I could from that moment on. And I called my friend, I have a friend in Ghana, Rita Twoon. And I called And she goes to the orphanage with a cell phone, and we get a lead on the phone, and I make those promises to her. I tell her that I love her, and I promise to be a mother to her if it's okay. And of course, she cried, and she said, yes, yes. And there was a big party that night at King Jesus' orphanage. There was lots of singing and dancing. Alima has been adopted by some crazy lady half a world away. None of us has any idea what it means at this point. And back here, back at my house, I'm starting to claim it here because I'm starting to think about it and imagine what it looks like. How is this going to work? What are we going to do? Well, the first thing, my daughter doesn't live in an orphanage. So we start looking for a boarding school. And not just any boarding school. No, that mother gene is kicking in. I want an accredited boarding school because I'm making plans. I'm already thinking about university. So we find just the right boarding school, and we send off the application, and it comes back, no thank you. We don't accept orphans. So we trade emails back and forth for a while, and finally I get my cell phone, and I call the headmaster of the school, and I said, you don't get it. She's not an orphan. She's been adopted. Don't ask me to see the papers, but she's been adopted. I am her mother, and through some miracle, she was accepted in the school. So finally the day came when Rita picked her up at the orphanage and took her to the school. And Alima would later tell me that there's this great big building in the front of the campus, and you walk in the door and it's a big hall. Sometimes it has chairs, it's where they gather, but most of the time it's just this big empty hall, and at the back there's this big desk. And to get into the school, you have to pass that desk. And Alima comes up to the desk, and they have a paper for her to sign and fill out. And she writes, Alima. She looks at Rita. She's kind of puzzled. You see, Alima's never known the last name at the boarding school. He's always just named Alima. And she pauses, and then a grin comes across her face. And she writes, Norland. And in that moment, she claims me and the love that I offered and the promises that I made. And she takes her little bag and she walks into the school. And I want you to appreciate how difficult that must have been for her. I asked her to leave everything she had known behind. Now, I had prepaid the school. I had bought the uniforms. I bought the books. I'd done everything. But I could not or would not make her take. She had to claim it. She had to claim it. And you know, Rita tells me it could have gone either way. On the car ride over, she was saying, I'm not sure I can do this. Truth is, if she hadn't done it, she could have gone back to the orphanage. They would have welcomed her. I would still love her. But that life, the boarding school, it was crafted just for her. That would have been wasted. That would have been wasted. So I ask you this morning, can you picture yourself standing at the desk in the great hall? Is God calling you to some opportunity? Maybe it's a little scary. Maybe it's something out of your comfort zone. Maybe you've got to leave something that you've always known behind to take this opportunity. Where is God calling you this morning? Is he calling you to teach Sunday school? Maybe. Is he calling you to serve on mission? You don't have to go all the way to Africa to serve on the mission team. There's plenty of mission right here. Boy, look, and our team does a great job of making that available to us. Where is God calling you? Maybe he's just calling you to redirect your life. Maybe he's just calling you to reorder your priorities. Wherever God is calling you, here's the thing. You can say no. You can't. God will never force you. You can say no. You can keep on keeping on. You know we love to do that. We love to just keep on keeping on. But before we do that, let's take a minute and go back to those verses from Jeremiah I'm going to get my Bible for this. You'll see these are some of my favorite verses because, yes, it's marked with a lavender sprig. That's how I mark my verses. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for what? Plans for what? Your welfare. Plans for your welfare. Another translation has plans for you to prosper. Plans for you to prosper, not for harm. A plan that will give you what?
A future.
A future. A future with hope. I think that's probably the most important line in the scripture. A future with hope. Wow. Hope for you and hope for the world. Don't we want to be part of that? God has this plan. It's good. It gives us hope. Now, if you could see my Bible, you would see that I have that part marked in ink. Because don't we love to stop there? Because that's what God has for us. God has his good things for us. Great. But we can't stop there. Read the rest of it. Because when you read the rest of it, you see there's like this neon sign flashing. Action required. Action required. What does it say? When you pray to me, I'll hear you. When you seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart. There is action required when you search for God. See, you can claim this life that God has for you. He has a plan, he has a life, and you can claim it. Or you'll be claimed by the world. And you can live the life the world has for you. You can seek God's life, or you can just go into what I call a default mode and live the life the world has for you. And you know what? You can rock along in that world life. Get up, have breakfast, go to work, come home, have dinner, watch a little TV, a little Dancing with the Stars, maybe some Major League Baseball, whatever suits your fancy. Get up in the morning and do it all again. You can do that. But one day, something deep inside you will rise up and you will say, is this all it is? Isn't life supposed to be more than this? And to that God says, as a matter of fact, it is. It's supposed to be more. A lot more. Now, how many of you have ever had a gift card? How many of you have ever gotten a gift card as a gift? Who's gotten a gift card? Okay. Kohl's, Target, Father's Day's coming, boy, those Home Depot cards will be flying. Now, how many of you are like me? You save that gift card for just the right moment. You don't spend it right away. I'm paying for you. I know you're out there. You save that gift card. Yes, you do. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many people, when I just said that, started thinking, where did I put that? Where is that? You know, I get it at Christmas time, and at Christmas time, I'm so afraid that I'm going to throw them away with the wrapping paper and they'll get lost in the chaos that I put them on the big bookshelves in my living room, my room that I use very often. And years later, I'll be getting a book off the shelf and out will tumble a whole bunch of unused, expired gift cards that are wasted. And I would feel bad, but I am not alone. I know I'm not alone. Now, I'm not asking you to expose yourself here, but I know I'm not alone because the government says that $1 billion of unused, expired gift cards go to waste in this country every year. Every year. God has an opportunity gift card with your name on it. It's up to you to decide. Put it on the shelf, or we're going to use it. I have to admit, there's a little part of this Lima story that I left out earlier. That was on that day that I got the letter, the fateful letter. My life was adrift. It was just adrift. My children were all off living their lives, doing their thing, which is a great. Now, we all come into this sanctuary from different perspectives and in different places in our relationship with God. And maybe you're looking at an opportunity now. Maybe you're on the path. Or maybe you're sitting there going, no, I don't see it. I don't see it, and I'm not even sure how to get started here. Well, I can just tell you what works for me. I believe for me, I have to name it. I have to speak it out loud. I have to stand up and say, this girl's going to be my daughter. Then I have to claim it. I have to think about it and imagine it and start to really understand it in my head. And then I can live into it. Let me show you what I mean. We come into this sanctuary every week, and the one thing that we say consistently is, God loves you and
there's nothing you can do about it.
Right, a little less enthusiastic one more time. God loves you. All right, come on, we're not choosing our words. God loves you and
there's nothing you can do about it.
Thank you. Say it now in first person. God loves
me
and there is nothing I can do about it. If you named it, we've just named it. Now let's work to claim it. Think about it. Think about what it means to be loved. Oh, the love that is undeserved and unconditional and is always there. If you've known that kind of love in your life, whether it's your parents or a spouse, if you have that kind of love, if you haven't, just imagine it. Somebody who loves you just as you are, no matter what. Imagine God wraps his arms of love around you right now. Leaning on the everlasting arms, how does that make you feel? Safe and secure. And when you feel safe and secure, you start to feel confident. And when you feel confident and empowered, you can go out into the world, and when the world tells you you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, you don't look like everybody else, you don't act like everybody else, you don't love like everybody else, you are less than everybody else, you can look right back at it and say, no way. I'm loved by the God of the universe. I am loved by the God of the universe. And when you look at the world and you see injustice and you see people in need and the world says, that's just how it is. You can say, no way, I am loved and empowered by God. And when you can do that, you've claimed it. You've claimed it. And once you start doing that, you see, it feels real good. And you want to seek it out, and you want to search it, and you want to be on that path. And when you do that, I promise you, the gift cards just start rolling in. They just start rolling in. Now let me show you what happens when you say yes. When you stand at the big table at the great hall and you just say yes. She went to boarding school. And the first years it was kind of tough making the transition from an orphanage school to an accredited boarding school. But after she caught up, she soared. I was so proud of her. She got into the top school, high school, in Kumasi. It happens to be the Methodist Kumasi School for Girls. Woo! And she rocked it. She rocked it. This is Alima today. In August, she begins her second year in college. She's studying, it's a nursing program, but she's studying to... She's focusing on nutrition, and she wants to go out into the villages to help people learn how to cultivate and cook and eat food that is more nutritious. She is at this moment in a field study, an internship in the Ghanaian government. She's out in the villages working right now. And I got an email from her. I got this email from her just 3 days ago. Mom, we're studying the life of the people in the villages, foods they need, health problems. The pregnant women have no access to clinics or hospitals. The children below the ages of 5 are malnourished. The aged in the village are either not able to walk or very sick. Mom, we must change this! Exclamation point. Indeed, we must. Indeed, we must. Go, Elima, go! Let's change this world one village at a time. And if you will allow a proud mom one last picture, one more, it's last of months. She posted this on Facebook 2 weeks ago. I love it because it shows that joy that just captured my heart. And I ask you this morning, do you know that kind of joy? That's the joy of abundant life. That's the life we're talking about here. That's the life that God has for you. When you search for Him, you will find Him. When you search for Him, you will find Him. There is a gift card of opportunity with your name on it. Don't put it on the shelf.
One, two, three, go.